I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I'd like to read the first three verses, Deuteronomy 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and arose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this evening for the blessed privilege to be able to call upon you. We thank you for your word. We pray that you'd bless it. Help us to worship. Pray for Gary and for his family, loss of his wife. Lord, have mercy. We ask you now, forgive us where we failed you. For Christ's sake, amen. There's certain passages of Scripture that are just so beautifully clear concerning the mark of a believer that the Scripture just preaches itself. And this is one such passage. I was looking over these verses and my heart was just blessed, and I want to share it with you. We find that Moses, the Scripture says, before his death in verse 1, this is the Moses that God had raised up. You know the history of Moses. God miraculously preserved him as a baby. Mama kept him, hid him in this little basket, put him out in the water. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and went into Egypt, raised up in Egypt, 40 years old. He defended one of the Hebrews that was being abused by an Egyptian, killed him. Killed that Egyptian. Next day realized that maybe found out, so he fled. 40 years, God left him on the backside of a desert, tending the flock and his father-in-law, 80 years old. And he's walking one day and he comes to the mountain of God. And God speaks to him out of a burning bush. And Moses started to walk over there to it. The Lord called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, take off your shoes. He said, where you're standing is holy ground. And God called that man and sent him to Egypt, back to the very place. Another Pharaoh had been raised up. And God told him, he said, I want you to go and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, eventually God moved Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. And they go out, and for 40 years, 40 more years, they went around in the desert. God used that man. now to direct and lead, guide, teach the nation of Israel. And within the nation, the natural nation, there was an elect in that nation. Israel is always a picture, always been a picture of God's elect, God's people. But there were a lot of them in that crowd that were rebels against God. They died in the wilderness, but not all of them. And now, very soon, God's going to bring the ones that He had eternally purposed to bring into the promised land. He's going to put them in Canaan. Moses can't go, though. You know what happened? God told him, He said, people were thirsty. And people murmured. And they said, you going to let us die out here? We're thirsty. And God told Moses, He said, I want you to go to the rock and take that staff. And you strike the rock. That there's a picture of Christ, our rock, from whom flows the fountain of living waters, bruised for our iniquities. Laying down His life, He said, you strike that rock. And you go back and read that account, and God said, I'm going to stand on that rock when you strike it. Boy, that just caused some chills. He said, I'm going to stand on the rock. You strike it, I'll be standing there. And Moses did. The people later, you know, they continued murmuring stuff. And God said, now this time you go speak to the rock. By one sacrifice for sin, He's perfected forever them that are sanctified. He said, now this time you speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He struck the rock again. And God said, you're not going in the promised land. He said, you're not going in because of your sin. Moses was a picture, though, of the law. And the law would never leave us, lead us into the promised land. Isn't that right, Neil? The law's not going to believe. Moses struck the rock. God brought him up and showed him the promised land before he died. But he wasn't going to go in. Now, this is where Moses is found. The scripture says, this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Now, I got to reading that, and I got to thinking about this. What a miracle of God's grace that God is not going to be silent to His people. That God would speak to His people. Listen to what David had to say about God speaking. Here we are tonight, and someone might say, well, what did y'all do? Well, we went over and we just went to church. No, you know what? We're coming to hear the voice of the Savior. He speaks through His Word. Now, when we hear these words, these things that I was just relating, those weren't my words. I didn't come up with that. I didn't know how old Moses was, and God speaking. Listen to David. Psalm 28:1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. God Almighty sends a pastor. It's what He said, I'm going to give you pastors after my heart. And they're going to feed you with knowledge and instruction. And here the Lord has raised up this man, Moses. Moses. Who was Moses? What was the difference in Moses than anybody else? Not the grace of God. That's it. And God taught Moses, taught him of Himself. And when Moses wrote this, Moses penned these words here, but this is God's Word. This is under the inspiration of God's Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said of Moses wrote of me, So I know that the Lord is here. I know He's here. So that's what we're looking for. But how sweet it is just to witness the tenderness and the love that God's minister and ministers have for God's people. God sends a preacher. And God sent preachers care for God's people. They're overseers. They watch for your souls. It matters. This is what God has called me to do. This is my responsibility right here. Feed the flock, which God has made you an overseer. You feed the flock. Be responsible. And here's Moses. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, and listen to his title. This is his title. The man of God. No. Wasn't reverend, this is who Moses was. He was a man of God. God had called him. And he blessed the people, the children of Israel before his death. And this is what he's saying. He's going to give them a word of encouragement as the Spirit of God has moved upon him. This is what he's about to say is what God said to him. Inspiration of God. This is what he said in verse 2. And he said, there's the blessing. He said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. Now, here's the blessing. What Moses is going to do in blessing the people, he's going to tell them what God has done for them. This is what he did. Here's where he starts. Here's the beginning of the blessing. Now here's a sweet word. Listen. And he said, here's the foundation of the blessing. The Lord came. And he said, the Lord came. I mean, if that was all we knew, there's a blessing. The Lord came. God was not silent. He was not absent. And he blesses his people in telling them, right here, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. Now just think, if that's all we knew right now, what a blessing. The Lord is here. But he says, the Lord came from Sinai. Almighty God blessed the nation of Israel in giving them His law. That was a blessing. The law of God is good. Law of God is holy, precious. The problem is not with the law of God. The problem is us. We're the ones that can't keep it. God's law is pure. And God blessed them. And Moses is telling them. He said, I'm going to bless the people by telling you what God's done for us. Moses went up on Mount Sinai. And God wrote with his finger his law. In so doing, he revealed not only what he demanded, but he taught the people their inability. Now, the religionist, the one that thinks that he's righteous in himself, he thinks that he can keep God's law. Remember when that rich young ruler came to the Lord and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, what saith the scriptures? And he started quoting the Ten Commandments. I shall love the neighbor and your wife, and don't steal. And he said, I've kept all of these from my youth up. I've never offended in any of those. But the blessing is that Almighty God would send a law telling you what God demands and revealing to us what we're not able to do. What we can't do because of the weakness. And God Almighty, it says He came, when He gave that law, the latter part of that, He came with ten thousands of saints from His right hand with a fiery law for them. Hold your finger right. Turn to Acts 7. Acts 7. He's talking about the angels. He came with 10,000s of His saints and the angels that were there. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 to 53. Acts 7. Stephen is speaking just before he got stoned. And he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it." Now, I tried to look up that the disposition of angels, and there was many different thoughts. It's a very hard for me passage to understand the exactness. But just holding that, also Galatians 3:19. Look at this. There's something here too. And I'll tell you what I believe is being said. Galatians 3:19. "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now, let me tell you, as without trying to press more than I think I know or has been revealed, I know this, that it wasn't ordained, meaning made by or purposed by angels. I know who purposed it. Almighty God purposed it, not angels. Angels were not the originators of it. But as closely as I can find, what it was saying was in the giving of the law, there were present 10,000s of angels. They were made use in the giving of the law, but I cannot tell you exactly what they were doing. But they were there. The Scripture reveals too often of the presence of the holy angels, the 10,000s of His saints. They did not come up with it, but they were there at the giving of it. It was majestic. It was marvelous. God's presence was there, and the hosts were there. Like when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and the angels, the heavenly hosts, they cried, you know, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." Angels, God used them, these ministering spirits. So the Scripture reveals here, He said the Lord came from Sinai. And then it gives down in that latter part what was going on. It says He came with 10,000s of saints from His right hand, won a fiery law for them, for the people. Not for the angel, for the people. But then He says, Moses says, so there's that blessing right there. The Lord came from Sinai. And then it says, and rose up from Seir. Now, this is to remind you, you know what happened there. I'll just tell you where this was. In this place right here was where the people were murmuring again against God. And God sent fiery serpents and biting the people. And the Lord told Moses, He said, "I want you to take a piece of brass and fashion it into a serpent and put it on a pole and hold it up. Whosoever looks, they're going to live. Now, here's the blessing. God sent them the law to show them God's demand. But then God sent them a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the satisfier of all that God demanded for the people that they couldn't do. You know, those fiery serpents biting them, a picture of sin. And the Lord, here's the blessing, that God would tell them the remedy. That it was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Nobody else was given to anybody. Nobody else had that. God blessed Israel with that. The Jews with that. And then He says also, and He shined forth from Mount Paran. Now, He shined forth like the sun rising. Now this place right here, Mount Paran, and there was a desert. There was a desert around this mountain. And this is what I could find out. It was from this place that the spies were sent into Canaan. When they went in and they found out, they found all those huge vegetables and fruits and came back, you know, and Joshua and Caleb, only two that came back, said, "We take it. God's with us." All the others says, No. They're like giants over there. We can't do it. We just can't do it. They did. Two men out of that group went in, believed God. What we learn? Here's what God, the just are going to live by faith. God's people trust God. How did they know that? God told them that. Nobody else knew that. This is God's law. Here's God's Christ. The just live by faith. The blessing of God. And then verse 3, we're going to set forth, they're given the particulars of that blessing spoken by Moses from God. And this blessing is relevant to us tonight. This is God's blessing to God's people in every generation. Now listen to this. Four marks of a believer. If you want to know what God has to say, this is the verse right here that I was talking about when I said it just preaches itself. Here it is, four marks. Here's the four marks of a believer. Yea, it's just right there. The first word, when God Almighty says yea, amen, yes, that's what He's talking about. Yeah, yes, yes. He loved the people. When God puts His amen to a statement, we ought to listen up. That ought to give us great, great comfort. Here's the truth, the mark of a believer. They're loved of God. They're a loved people. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." His love for His people. He loved the people. That it's a distinguishing love. Love. Look at Exodus 11:4. Exodus 11:4. Exodus 11 verse 4 to 7. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." The Scripture bears out that Almighty God's love for His people is a distinguishing love. Malachi 1:2 says, "I've loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein, or how, or in what way hast thou loved us? And the Lord's answer concerning his distinguishing love was this. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God Almighty loves distinguishingly. He sets his affection on whomsoever he will. I'll have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. So here's the blessing. He loved the people. He everlastingly loved them. He loved them distinguishingly. I love you. Put them in Christ and loved them for Christ's sake. And I'll tell you, this love is eternal. God doesn't change. Look, Romans 8:33. I'll read this, or you can turn there. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, listen. You want to God's people, to those that believe, let me tell you a blessing that God has related to his people. He said, I love you. I love you. And I know this, herein is love, not that I loved him, but that he loved me. That's love. I told somebody the other day, I don't know, I might have said this in the message, I don't know. I mean, I can understand there being grounds to love him, but what grounds is there to love us? We're just rebels. Here's a mark of a believer. They're loved of God. Secondly, all his saints are in thy hand. All thy saints are in thy hand. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. The scripture says this. All his saints are in his hands. Listen, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. And when it says all his saints are in his hands, set apart. Set apart to be holy. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints. Appointed. Is what that word. God Almighty does call his people out effectually through the preaching of the gospel by his Holy Spirit. He does call them. But that word also means appointed. Called or appointed to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. God's people. Here's a blessing. God loves his people. And all of his saints, all of his set apart ones, all of those that he's eternally set apart for himself, no difference in them, but the grace of God. But he said, you're mine. I set you apart. I put you in Christ. He's going to make you holy and without blame before me in love. All of his saints are in thy hand. And in his hand, we are secure. John 10:27. Secure in him. The scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Here's a blessing. There's nothing that I can do or anyone else can do that can take me out of His hand. Aren't you glad? I tell you what, if there was something that I could do to get out of His hand, I'd have done it. And I'm doing it. I'm doing it. That Almighty God securely holds His people in His hand. And you know, I'm talking to me now. You listen in. But I've just got way too many fears and doubts when I realize that Almighty God has said to me, and I believe God. I believe Him. Lord, help mine unbelief, but I believe. Like Peter said, Lord, You know all things. You know I love You. But for those that are kept, being kept, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, all of His saints are in His hands. In His hand. Psalm 31:15. My times, David said, all the issues of my life, all of them, whatever comes my way, no matter what it is, God Almighty has sent it. Because He worketh all things after the power of His own will, His own might, His own blessing and purpose. He worketh all things. Well, David said, my times, all the issues of my life are in Thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Oh, he says, all His saints are in His hand. Listen to this. I'll read this to you. Isaiah 49. This is a precious thought here. Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And Isaiah says, yes. I mean, she can lose her mind. She just lose it. Can she forget? Yeah. Isaiah said, yeah. Yea, they may forget. He said, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Solomon said in Song of Solomon, Song 8:6, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. You know, whenever the high priest would go in, he had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. You look at a picture, a drawing, it had these stones, and engraved in the stones were the names of every tribe, 12 tribes, and he had two stones, one on each shoulder, and six names. And he went in bearing the names of the tribes of Israel upon his heart, upon his shoulders, the government. And here, the Lord Jesus is said, He said, you're engraved on my heart. Set me as a seal upon your heart. And He said, you're graven in my hands. He just, you know, thy people, thy saints are in thy hands. So there's God's people are loved by Almighty God, and they're secure in Christ. Thirdly, it says, and they sat down at thy feet. They're humbled by Almighty God, and they desire to hear His word. I think about that demoniac over in Mark, you know, the Mark chapter 5. The scripture says they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He came to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to the demons. What's your name? Legion. He said, you come out. Can we go into the swine? Yes. And he cast those demons out. And then listen, here's what verse 15 says concerning that man after the Lord healed him. And it says, and they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil, and he had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. There he was, resting, clothed, the picture of the righteousness of Christ that clothed him. And it says, and he was in his right mind. God said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'll give you a new mind. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And here was a man sitting, resting, hearing. Just tell me again, you know, what the Lord has done for me. You remember when Martha and Mary, and they were, the Lord had come, and that was the brother, the sisters of Lazarus, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now here's the one thing that's needful. Just sitting at his feet. By faith, right now, resting, knowing that all things are accomplished. We're needy people and we're ignorant of that which we really need. What we need to do is just sit down. By faith, in our heart, Mary has chosen that one thing's needful. It's not going to be taken away from her. And then lastly, everyone shall receive of thy words. Everyone shall receive, that is, shall desire, shall accept, shall hold as honorable and lofty thy words. What a blessing that Christ would send his word concerning himself, and his people would love it. His people would desire. This is what they know. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But he said, my word's not going to pass away. The Lord has magnified his word. Almighty God speaks to his people, and his people shall receive it. They're going to hear. They're going to believe. God's going to teach them. Who are these people? Who are these people, these believers? Well, they're loved people, held in the hand of Almighty God, blessed of God, God's people that are given a heart of rest to just sit and hear what he has to say, and they're going to believe him. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.